you need to bring stakeholders around the table to be able to innovate. And this is something I believe that Estonia has a really good experience. And so we can share this experience also to other countries.
Welcome to the Digital Government Podcast. Tune in to discover the future of governance and ways of getting there.
Welcome back, everyone, to yet another episode of the Digital Government Podcast. And especially after a long summer break, this is still your usual host, Federico Plantera, journalist, sociologist, and researcher. And today with me, we have a few, let's say, new entries, because let's say that this is not just the new season, maybe we can call it this way, of the Digital Government Podcast, but today I also have a new entry in eGovernance Academy as a guest, and this new entry is Piret Hirv, who is a senior expert at the Data and Services Competence Center of eGovernance Academy. So, Piret, welcome by all means, not just to the podcast, but also from my side, and I guess also from the side of the audience, to EGA in general.
Thank you. Thank you, Federico. It's a really exciting time for me, and I really have high hopes for the future of my career in eGovernance Academy, and also high hopes for the work I'm able to do for the governments other than Estonia.
Exactly, because what today we're going to talk about is something that is very, very much tailored, let's say, on your profile and what you're going to address among the, let's say, as part of the ranks of eGovernance Academy. Today we're going to talk about how information and communication technologies can help advance healthcare and its provision. So we're talking about digital services, but not just about the delivery of digital services in this field, but also the approach, let's say, that could inspire their design and what are the needs to take into account. Why we're talking about that with you? Because previously to joining eGovernance Academy, you have covered for 5 years the position of manager of the Connected Health Cluster at the Science and Business Park Technopole in Tallinn. And as well, before that, you had a stint also in the public sector as advisor for e-services and innovation at the Ministry of Social Affairs. And before that, maybe like this is also something that we will focus on a little bit because it's a very interesting point, you've been also a registered and trained nurse. So before getting to all of this, let's say, I would say that it's important to give a bit of a general introduction to the topic of e-services in healthcare in general, meaning healthcare compared to other domains, for example, where governments and public administrations can implement e-services, is something that we could consider by all means a public good, in the sense that maybe if we think of ease of doing business or if we think of other digital services domains, they refer to specific demographics or to specific groups of people in society, while instead, talking about healthcare, we talk about everyone, every single person that is part of the population of a given country. So, in your opinion and from your point of view, what is the role exactly of digital innovation for governments and for e-services delivery in this particular field?
I look at this as the goal in innovation, or why we innovate in health and care sector, is to improve access to the services. This is really one important aspect. The other really important aspect is to increase the quality of the services. And last but not least, the third aspect is we need to have more efficient systems in care delivery domain. So it goes without saying that healthcare, at least if we talk about Estonia, we know how big are the resources for the health and care sector, and they are not going to increase for sure. But on the other hand, the demand for the service is increasing. We are getting older, we have longer lives, and we also want to have live longer, but we also want to have healthier lives also in the when we are older and maybe not so vital anymore, but still we need to be healthy. And as I said, resources are as they are. So the only way to improve the quality, to have access to the services, we need to innovate in this sector. So there are really these three very simple principles we have to follow.
Yeah, and Peter, if we want to focus for a second, really just, you know, as a to give a little bit of an idea also, let's say, to the audience of what we are talking about when we mention digital healthcare. What I remember also is that throughout the past years, one solution, for example, one digital solution that exemplifies, let's say, what digital healthcare means, especially in Estonia, is e-prescriptions. No, I remember, for example, when there were international delegations or even journalists coming to visit in Estonia, especially during the period of the European presidency, I think it was in 2016, 17, that many people wanted to see, okay, but like, how does this digital prescription work? No, and it would be, let's say, a little hard to give a measure of how it actually works, simply because that the good thing about it is that you don't really see it working. Let's say you don't really see, you know, the hand-to-hand transaction happening. And but that, for example, the e-prescriptions has come to be one of the main solutions that exemplifies what digital healthcare means to the eyes exactly of foreign observers or people coming from abroad or people approaching the ecosystem of digital solutions in this field in Estonia. Since you have worked exactly in connected health, no? What do you think makes, let's say, the digital ecosystem of healthcare solutions in Estonia beyond the e-prescription, which is something that, for example, is a case that has been brought up many, many, many times. But what else is digital healthcare in Estonia?
Well, to start from the beginning, the history of digitalization of our healthcare system started already, like, if I remember correctly, it was 96 when we had our first so-called online service. And this first service was handling reimbursement invoices online between family doctors and health insurance fund. So, and from there, we have developed different services step by step. And as I said, the services are there to solve certain topics, certain problems, certain issues. So every single service has its purpose. And also very important thing is that those services, they add value to persons or doctors' lives. So this is also very important element. But if we talk about the e-health services systems here in Estonia, then I think that one of our success element or elements behind the success is or are that we are tightly connected to the overall, in general, e-government services in Estonia. So we use the same digital identification as other government services use. We use the same data exchange platform, X-Road, as other government services use also. And we have had experience of collecting health data already from the beginning. From 2008 was the year when our e-health platform was launched. So we have collected health data already more than how many years now? 15 years. So we have quite a good history of persons medical. We have quite a good medical history of the persons. Life. And what else makes us successful? We do have quite good and strong ecosystem behind developing innovative solutions. So it means that it's getting better and better. And of course, it could be improved also in the future. All the stakeholders are involved in developing innovative solutions here in Estonia. So if we talk about services that, for example, make doctors' lives easier or nurses' life easier, then it's absolutely essential to include doctors or nurses also to this process of developing innovative solutions. So it means that you have to involve the end users to the process as early as you can. So it doesn't work like this, that I have great solution in my head. So I go to the hospital and tell to the hospital owner that, hey, I have this beautiful solution. Give me a problem. I could solve this or I could use this solution for. So first you start with a problem, you involve the stakeholders, and then you try and you develop the solution on top of that problem. So maybe this is one of the key elements as well. And of course, if we talk about another really strong aspect our health, it's not even our healthcare systems, but as you might know, we also have a biobank here in Estonia. So in our bio...
Was it called the Genome Bank? Estonian Genome Bank.
Yeah. And in that Genome Bank, we have more than 200,000 donors who actually donated free of charge, like voluntarily, their blood samples. And we really hope that this is one of the strongest pillars if we talk about prevention and healthcare also in the future, because this genome bank helps us to design services based on our genome background. For instance, breast cancer screening can be done also to the younger women than 50 years old. And if your background shows that you have higher risk for breast cancer. So this is also really, really important pillar. And we have talked about data. It's really important to have qualitative data. In some cases, Estonia is still struggling with this. We do have some legacy in our systems, but we are really trying to improve the quality of the data. And imagine the power if you can, or when you can integrate your genome data with your health data and your health background. So this gives you a really powerful tool to work with the preventive measures and also to prescribe treatment that is specifically designed for you. So another really strong aspect is that we do collect data and we do integrate the data for the services, and also looking at the prevention side as well.
Yeah, Piret, one thing that I would highlight in terms of the numbers. Well, first of all, I would highlight the fact that obviously the data in the genome bank, as you said, has been, you know, donated. Mm-hmm. No, so it's not that like the Estonian healthcare sector or the Estonian government is like, you know, retrieving data or like people's healthcare data from their records, you know, without it's, consent or anything.
Every single donor gives consent to. Yeah, donates the data and gives consent to use the data for science and also for the innovation, future innovation. So yes, consent here is absolutely important and significant.
And another thing that I wanted to stress about that point that you said is that, did you mention as a number like over 200,000?
It's 220 something thousand. Yes. So.
Yeah, just for just to put it in the context for our audience. In any case, we're talking about that number in a country of about 1,300,000 people. Exactly. So it means that there is a huge number, let's say, of people who have willingly donated their data for these like research purposes, exactly, to advance as well, to allow the stakeholders in the healthcare sector to advance innovation in that sense, and also exactly to develop as a general public good, public health, as we were talking about before, measure, some forecasting, prevention. For example, the topic of proactivity, you know, in the development of public services in a digital form has been very present, let's say, not only in our podcast, but in general, in talks on e-government in the past few years. Maybe even like, you know, when we talk about, I'm going to mention like a completely different field, let's say cybersecurity, we're talking exactly about how it is important to not just know how to respond to a threat, but also how to prevent the case from getting there, let's say, no? And in the case of healthcare, this dynamic can be applied as well. And something that you have mentioned is that, is the word like stakeholders, mm-hmm. no? When we talk about human, let's say, stakeholders, we will get to that a little later on, because I want to then ping back to your experience as a nurse on that, on the usage. And this is also a point that you mentioned. But before getting there, I mentioned in the introduction that you have worked as manager of Connected Health. So what does it mean to involve all the stakeholders, as we said, in the Estonian healthcare system? Because Connected Health, in a way, is exactly, you know, the superstructure somehow, you know, the moment of synthesis of this ecosystem of actors, which includes obviously the public sector, a place where you have worked as well in the past, but as well the private sector. So in this sense, what is Connected Health as a cluster, and why do you think it does add value to innovation in healthcare to have at the country level, let's say, this type of system and organization?
Yes, it's a very broad question you just asked, but
you're free to narrow it down as you wish.
Yeah, but I'm really glad you asked this question, because the role of ecosystem, you can't underestimate it. Yes, single companies are really strong and smart in creating innovation, and technology as such usually is not an issue at all if you want to innovate. So, but what makes it really difficult is this digital transformation, or even business models behind the healthcare services, for instance, because somebody has to pay for it. So in Estonia, at least, it was really important to bring together all the stakeholders under one umbrella. And with the stakeholders, I mean, like hospitals, for instance, who know where the problem is. And then academia, who actually creates innovation in their systems. And then there are startups or bigger IT companies who actually know how to use this innovation to solve the problems in the hospitals. So it means that you have to have academia, universities, you have to have hospitals, you have to have startups, IT companies, but you also have to have in this ecosystem, you have to have governmental organizations. In our case here in Estonia, it was really crucial to have, or it is still really crucial to have, health insurance fund as one of the purchasers of the healthcare services here in Estonia. If they don't want to pay for the innovation, then patients themselves, they have to pay for the innovation. So you have to bring this funding organization as well to the circle. And last but not least, you need to have also patients as part of this ecosystem. So we have also patients in our connected health cluster and connected health system in our ecosystem. So you need to bring every single one who has a role in implementing innovation. And what it practically means is that it takes time to innovate together with the end users, but then on the other hand, it is much easier to implement solutions when the end users when the end users were involved. So it means that you lose some, you win some. And basically, if you want to get something done, then bring the end users to the circle as well. So this is one part of the connected health. But the other part is that to be connected to our e-health systems, literally, you need to know every single technical detail. You need to know the standards, you need to know data quality, measurements. So all these technical details, again, these were agreed together with the stakeholders already, not yesterday, but a bit longer time ago. So it means that this ecosystem has to interact constantly. And just to give you an example, to develop platforms for general practitioners, or as we call them here in Estonia, family doctors, our Ministry of Social Affairs has a special, like a platform or working group for doctors and nurses to be involved in developing this this platform. So again, you need to bring stakeholders around the table to be able to innovate. And this is something I believe that Estonia has really good experience. And so we can share this experience also to other countries, how to, yeah, how to practically work with stakeholders.
Yeah, because I would say that the healthcare sector, you know, is one of those in government that is usually or like often regarded as one of the, the most legacy dependent sectors, let's say, you know, one of the maybe the oldest, quote unquote, let's use this word once. While instead we saw in the Estonian case that exactly not only through connected health, but through the solutions that people can use on a daily basis, not just when they are patients, but also before entering, you know, the moment of treatment, let's say, that there are a bunch of digital solutions that they can use. Because exactly, this is something that I would ask you, like before getting to the point of including the end users in the scope, you know, and in the process of developing digital solutions based on your own past experience, you know, as a nurse. But I think we should highlight also this thing that when, you are a user or you're a subject, you know, as a citizen of the healthcare system and the general ecosystem that includes its services, also before being a patient, that's exactly the point, you know, also of prevention and avoiding becoming a patient for as much as it is possible, obviously, you know. So do you think that there should be a bit more of an increased focus on this sort of, you know, life cycle of the citizen experience in healthcare? Meaning, do you think that maybe governments and public administrations so far have focused predominantly on the patient side? And maybe there should be a bit more attention, you know, also to what comes before needing treatment.
Yeah, this is not only my opinion, but also numbers show that the biggest costs in healthcare are happening in the hospitals. So when it's already kind of late, and governments,
hopefully not too late,
and governments, including Estonia, do not pay, in my opinion, enough attention to this period prior something happens. But then again, we can't rely on the governments all the time. So we have to take the responsibility as citizens. We need to, like, as parents, we need to educate our children. We need to educate ourselves. We need to be active. But basically, we all know that also, right? How to eat, how to sleep, how to exercise. This is
how to not smoke.
How to not smoke,
for example.
Yeah, we do know that. And I think that, yes, governments, maybe they should invest more in prevention. But us as a citizens, we need to be more responsible as well and take care of our health. Because this is our health.
I was just about to say that, like all things regarding, like all domains that are of public good, that are, you know, that are rights, but there are also duties,
yeah,
and duties that regard individual responsibilities. No, and but Piret, exactly. Lovely chat, and I would actually end it because we're approaching the end of this episode with a very brief question on exactly. You already brought up, like, throughout this conversation, what could be the increased role of doctors, nurses, and users, which is not just patients exactly, of healthcare solutions in when it comes exactly to digital services. No, one thing I would ask you, one thing that is a bit more tailored, let's say, on you personally. So coming in e-governance academy, you know, and coming into this job of now advising, you know, in governments internationally, so not just in Estonia, on the topic of digital services and healthcare, what do you bring into this from your experience, not as, you know, the managing director of Connected Health, not as the advisor of the Ministry of Social Affairs, but as a person who knows what care means? So as a previously exactly registered nurse.
Yeah, just to clarify, when I was nurse, there.
Let's clarify. Yeah,
there was no innovation because this was years ago. So, nevertheless, the human body functions as it functions, or it used to function 10, 20, 30 years, 100 years ago. So, this hasn't changed. So, well, I hope to bring this human approach. I hope to bring in this. We talk a lot about this user-centric approach, but what it actually means. Like, really, if you start peeling off the layers from this definition, what it actually means, this user-centric approach. So, and I can see, I have this kind of different angles to this approach. So I, as a person, as a citizen, as a medical, I can't say professional, but I know how the processes in the hospitals or in the healthcare system work. But I also have this policy level kind of view to the systems. And then from my really very last work experience, I also know how the innovation happens in the health and care sector. So I do have these different angles covered. So I hope that this is something that I can bring into the e-governance academy portfolio, and we can use it to improve the situation in other countries and support them to develop solutions that are so much needed for every single person in those countries.
And this was Piret Hirv, senior expert at the Data and Services Competence Center of eGovernance Academy. Welcome again for joining eGovernance Academy in general, and thanks also for participating in today's episode.
Thank you, and hope to see you somewhere in the future.
Yes, and hope that you all would also not just like head to ega.ee to check exactly all the updates, not just about the projects that the Governance Academy is currently involved in, but also exactly the new people that we have on our team. For all the rest, from me as the host, first of all, I would like to thank you for tuning back to the Digital Government Podcast. We are exactly like resuming with the series, with the insights, with the episodes. So you'll definitely hear much more from us as you did in the past, but also in the next weeks and the next months. Thanks to you all for tuning in again. I hope you all spent like a very, very good summer if you're in the Northern Hemisphere. And that is it from today. Thanks a lot for tuning in.
This podcast is brought to you by the eGovernance Academy. Tune in next time.